my name is Alex Donaldson and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the One Another Project and the Wellcome Trust. The date is the 20th of July 2009. If you could just state your full name, your age and where you're from.
Where I'm from geographically?
Yeah.
My name's Teresa Askew. I'm 50 years old and I'm from London.
Great. And how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling fine.
So how did you initially hear about the project?
Well, I used to, I still work at the Greater London Authority and I used to work in the culture department, so I've known about the project since its inception, basically, from the start.
Yeah.
Do you mean the One Another Project or the Fourth Plinth in general?
The One Another Project.
Well, I was aware Anthony Gormley was one of the artists that went into the pot along with Tracy Emil and the other artists, so I was aware of the idea from the beginning.
And what initially kind of inspired you to take part?
Oh, I think it's a fantastic opportunity. It's a really interesting project, this one. It's really caught people's imagination. You know, I'm interested in contemporary art anyway, but I really understood that this was a very powerful idea when my dad and my 10-year-old, both of whom are not interested in art, were talking about it. And my dad said that 1 hour's not long enough, you've got no real commitment, it should be at least 7 hours. And I was like, so I think, you know, I was always going to throw my name in the ring because, you know, it's a fantastic thing to be part of. It's stepping over that line, isn't it, from participant, observer to participant.
And how did you feel when you heard that you'd been ordered a piece?
Very excited. Bit nervous. Nervous because of the height. And I'm worried about my vertigo. But, I mean, what's the worst that can happen? I mean, the worst that can happen is I sit on the fourth plinth for an hour, absolutely terrified. It's only an hour.
So what are you actually planning on doing?
I'm going to chant. I'm a Buddhist. I've been a practising Buddhist since about 1994. And I chant Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, which means devotion to the Lotus Sutra. And I'm going to be chanting for peace and happiness for myself, for London, and for the world.
And are you looking to engage with the audience whilst you're doing this?
Well, I'm a bit worried that I might be too frightened to look down. So, not much is the answer to that, if I can. But, I mean, it's quite a... I mean, it's not really, you know, chanting, it's not really a social activity, you know, it's not interactive, it's something you just do.
And can I just ask you to tell me a little bit about yourself, your kind of, where you live, what you do?
I live in Cricklewood. I'm the head of the trade union at the Greater London Authority, which is Unison. It's been a very hectic time. There's a lot of people at risk of redundancy in the GLA. So quite an unhappy time at work and consequently busy for me. And I kind of try to look after people, really, protect their employment rights, protect their health. I'm a listening ear for the GLA.
And how long have you been doing this for?
I've been doing it full time since the change of mayor, since May the 2nd, whenever it was, not last May, but the May before.
And, I mean, do you kind of take quite a passionate interest in the arts?
Yes. Before this trade union detour, I've had a kind of, basically my background is I'm a major events producer. And I developed the St. Patrick's Day Festival that appears on Trafalgar Square, produced the first one of those. And before that, I developed an anti-racist festival called originally Respect and later Rise. So that's what I used to do before I got waylaid into trade unionism.
Yeah. And what do the arts mean to you?
What do the arts mean to me? Well, I've got my own arts practice, in fact, and I make prints, and I sculpt, and I draw. I enjoy the arts. I go to a lot of art exhibitions. I mean, I like visual arts in particular. I just think it's a really interesting way to engage, to bring up ideas, to think about things, to communicate. I think arts have the power to really touch and move and compel people in a way, you know, a lot of life doesn't.
And what do you think about this project and how it's kind of developed since its initiation?
I think it's a fantastic project. I love the way, I mean, it's such an interesting project. Interest in this project is global. It's gone around the world. Like I said, you know, I'm interested in the arts anyway, so, you know, but the way that my family, who are not interested in the arts in particular, caught on and had ideas and thought about this, you know, showed me how accessible it is really to people that, you know, people are queuing up to be on the plinth, and they've got all kinds of ideas about ways to express themselves, and that ability for people to engage with it. And then when you think of the amount of people that are watching on the webcam, the amount of publicity they've been, you know, it really is every man's art project.
And just going back to your hour on the plinth, so you're chanting, what exactly is this chant? I mean, how long have you been doing it for? How long will it last?
Okay, I think I'll probably do Evening Gongyo. I hadn't even stopped to think about it, but what? Do you want me to give you a demonstration?
Yeah,
okay. I've got a book and beads, and the primary practice is chanting Nammyo Ho Renge Kyo, which is Nammyo Ho Renge Kyo, Nammyo Ho Renge Kyo, Nammyo Ho Renge Kyo. Quick demo of that. And the evening prayers that's around that, it's called Evening Gongyo. I think it's the 2nd and 14th chapter of the Lotus Sutra, which I recite in classical Chinese, pronounced according to Japanese phonetics. So that's a bit strange, isn't it? I know it off by heart. I mean, you can read it, but I could even translate it because I've got the translation with me. It's written in the prayer book I use, but it goes something like Niji says Sonju Samme Anjo Niki Go Sharhotsho Bachiye Jinjin Mario Go Chiye Monange, which translates as something like, thus the world ordered one arose from his meditation and revealed the truth that was difficult to understand and difficult to hear. So it's like I said, it's two chapters from the Lotus Sutra. And it's really about, it's in those chapters that the Buddha reversed a lot of what he'd previously said about attaining enlightenment. Because prior to that, he said there were some categories of people that couldn't attain enlightenment. In the Lotus Sutra, he said everyone can attain enlightenment. So that's why we recite it. It's really to remind ourselves that the potential for being a Buddha, which is courage, compassion and wisdom, is inherent in our own lives, and we can find our own Buddhahood and we can lead an enlightened life.
And what does Buddhism mean to you personally?
Buddhism is the rock on which I stand, really. It orientates, you know, if what it says is that the point of my life is to be happy, like profoundly happy, not superficially happy, and I will find that happiness by living with courage, compassion and wisdom. To whatever extent I myself display courage, compassion and wisdom, to that extent I reveal my true nature as a Buddha and create value in the world for myself and for other people. So that's, it defines my value system.
Yeah. And have you spent much time in Asia?
No, none whatsoever, I don't think. I went to Japan once. Yeah. Nothing to do with Buddhism. I went to visit my auntie.
Yeah, so you've never actually learned Chinese or Japanese or languages?
No. I think this specific Buddhism is propagated by an organisation called the Soka Gakkai International.
Okay.
And I'm a member of the Soka Gakkai, which means Japanese for value creation. And it's an international organisation, so there are Buddhists in every country. So even though we might not be able to speak each other's language, we all share this practice. We all practice in the same way.
And with your arts, you're going to be chanting. That's great. Are you doing this for yourself or anyone in particular?
I'm doing it for myself, yeah.
Yeah. And what are you kind of aiming to walk away with? What experience are you wanting to leave with after your hour?
Well, I chant every day, twice a day, right? So it's my ordinary practice, right? I'm thinking I'll chant about an hour on the plinth, which is, it's a good opportunity, funnily enough. I mean, and a good place. The difficulty, like with my life, same as everybody else's, is taking the time out from all the demands on us in the day to find the time to do my chanting. And it's like, I've been given this hour. Almost, what else would I do with it? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure, you know, anybody who practices anything, yoga or anything like that, might choose to do it on the plinth. To me, this seems like quite a good opportunity to get an hour's chanting done. And since I'm chanting for peace and happiness for London, you know, and myself and the world, it is for myself and for London. I think I'm doing it.
How long have you been living in London for?
I was born here my whole life.
And what kind of relationship do you have with the city?
I love London. What can I say? Like, I'm a Londoner. I'm hugely proud of the city I live in, and you know, I think London is a great world city and a great place to live.
And what kind of impact do you think this project has had on London?
I think this enhances London's reputation as a great creative city where new and different things can happen and be explored. I think it's fantastic that we've got a kind of cutting edge contemporary art project on Trafalgar Square, a kind of bastion of the establishment. Do you know what I mean? You can use one of the plinths in this imaginative way. And I think that's part of why this new story has gone around the world, you know, what it's part of it, what its great appeal is. And it just reaffirms that perception of London as a kind of, as a creative place where new things and can happen.
Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, but thanks for letting me take part.